Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
This is Why Always Us. It's your Manchester City podcast from The Athletic. I'm David Mooney. I'm joined by, from his sofa in Manchester, Paul Byas.
Hiya, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks. And as you might be able to tell, Sam Lee is currently in Dortmund. Hiya, Sam.
Hello, good evening to the right-leaning royalists out there.
let's not open that can of worms so early on in the show, shall we? You can read everything on City and more in The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just go to theathletic.com/mancitypod and sign up. That's theathletic.com/mancitypod. First off, Sam, let's get an immediate reaction from Dortmund, because me and Paul have basically just sat at home and watched a 0-0 draw on telly, and... Was it better than the TV kind of give it credit for, or was it just as dull and delightful as we saw?
I mean, it helps when you got the atmosphere kind of directly there. I was actually thinking, like, I should get like European crowd noise just pumped into my living room while I'm doing an article, just to kind of background beat. I mean it wasn't great, was it? But I think by half time we decided that it was so bad and so crap. It's kind of easy to overlook that the second half was a lot better. And like, if you think about how many chances Dortmund had in the second half, you suddenly go, oh yeah. They had control of the game. I know that is the aim of the game always with Guardiola. I mean, maybe to the point that they don't risk. We know they don't take risks in possession, but some nights it's especially safe. And I think we've talked briefly about when it's Grealish and Mahrez playing, and it's not necessarily because those two are, well, it's not because those two are bad players, although we'll get on to Mahrez. But it's because of the type of player that they are. They don't make those runs in behind. And also you get a combination of City not looking for those runs. And that was the same tonight. Even though Grealish didn't start, it was Cancelo who was on the left. And there just wasn't those opportunities. So they weren't stretching Dortmund in behind, and there wasn't a lot to shout about. But, I mean, you could certainly say the second half was better. But then I suppose you could certainly say it was a very low bar to clear to get there.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Paul, I mean, the truth of the matter is City got the point. They wanted to win the group, and they don't need to push the boat out any further than that. And if you've got if you're looking ahead to the schedule between now and the start of the World Cup, you're probably thinking, let's manage the time quite well. And they've done that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think that City right now are in a position in terms of a schedule and just the places they are at in the Champions League and in the Premier League, which is quite comfortable and quite good for them. If you ask anyone at City at which state they would like to be, just like before the World Cup, I mean, I think that, they must be quite happy about that. But just as Sam was saying, I think that the first half was not, it was quite bad from City. Then it got better, in my opinion, when just John Stones dropped like into the middle, and Gundogan and Bernardo were a bit like attacking midfielders. Still not a performance to remember from City, of course.
Yeah, I very different, I think, from weekend though, Sam, in fairness, because I felt the same about City's performance against Brighton, but that I thought was very much Brighton were very good and putting City under pressure, whereas this one was let's not exert ourselves too much.
I wrote after the Copenhagen game about, it was City winning without really trying to win, and obviously especially when they went down to 10 men, try and push, get a goal if we're lucky. But, if we don't really get it, we'll shake hands and go home. And it was exactly the same again. And again, there was more chances, wasn't there, against Copenhagen when City had 11, with the whole VAR mess early on. They did very well. But obviously, towards the end, there was a bit more, the penalty, obviously, which again, we'll come to. But it was just one of those nights when whenever there was an opportunity to create something, you know, not, it wasn't the final pass, but it was, you know, if you can control this ball and turn and play the pass, then somebody will be in. But Foden kept messing it up. Alvarez kept messing it up. Mahrez, you know, didn't actually mess up that many because he wasn't the guy to do those link-ups. But it just, like, Haaland was messing it up in the first half. Not nobody in that, those forward areas played well. But yeah, after the second half, it was good. And I mean, look, we're doing this before the press conference. Maybe news will reach us. There's a reason that both Cancelo and Haaland went off. Maybe both injured. I don't think so. Hope not. But it just seemed like Guardiola went, I know how to fix this, and I'll give you two a rest, and we'll see how it goes. And then the second half went, how it went. And yeah, again, here we are. So I guess we'll kind of, I don't know, get on to bigger topics, more recent topics, Brighton topics, whatever.
Yeah, I hadn't clocked that, actually, but that shows how much attention I was paying, I guess, Paul, from my sofa, that I hadn't clocked since he finished with four centre-backs on the pitch.
Yeah, with four centre-backs, with no full-backs, yeah, it was quite weird, actually. I think that the changes of Cancelo and Haaland, they might be more like fitness-related or just to give them just a bit of a rest, basically, rather than injuries. Basically, because Haaland, if I'm not wrong, he came back to the bench after halftime. So I guess that if you have an injury, probably you stay inside for some treatment. But, well, Pep is going to solve or clear those doubts right now, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, let's talk into the selection then, Sam, because I think the big news to start with was that Ortega was picked over Ederson. No injury there, was there?
No, and again, doing this before the press conference, so not fully ideal. But from what I gather, Guardiola said to BT Sport, it was a kind of, no, he's not injured and I didn't pick him. Which, you know, is an opportunity to go in the press conference and ask and see what he says there. But it's interesting because, you know, that's a selection decision. I don't remember Ederson being dropped before in the last 5 years or so that he's been at City. That is an interesting one. It's funny because to talk about the Brighton game a bit, I tweeted that his distribution had been excellent. I didn't think anything more of it because, you know, he set up two chances and one which would have been a chance, but De Bruyne kind of overhit his path.
Yeah.
And it was just whenever there was somebody in space, which didn't happen often because of Brighton's man-to-man, he found them and I thought it was excellent. But loads of people replied to me and his distribution was absolutely shite. So... I didn't miss it. I didn't miss that. I watched the game. I don't know. I mean, I've not watched it back since. I just think the passes weren't on. So maybe he tried it and it wasn't. You know, maybe he tried it and went out of play because the pass wasn't on. But I don't know.
Yeah, I just wonder, Paul, if it's because people remember that he passed it to Danny Welbeck at one point and that was it. Like that kind of sets the tone. And then after that, people go, "Oh, he's not on it today." And actually, he was fine.
Yeah. I think he was more than fine. To be fair, I mean, Ortega gave me like the feeling that he is, if not as good as Ederson, maybe like better. I mean, he looked like really comfortable with his foot, like with his positioning when he needed to go like out of the goal just to receive and get the passes. He was really good. And I think that this result just gives him the chance to play two more games before the World Cup break, basically, like the next Champions League game and probably the Carabao Cup against Chelsea.
Yeah, he was probably going to play them anyway with City being through, was he, do you reckon?
I've just seen the Pep update, which is only breaking news to us three, which probably isn't great podcasting. but why Haaland and Cancelo went off, Pep Guardiola says Erling had a bit of a fever before the game, Zhao too. He was tired, Zhao as well. That's why.
Okay.
So they should be okay for weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if not, you know, it's not anything more to worry about, is it? So there we go. But everyone will know that by the morning anyway. So
So breaking news for us. Oh,
he also says, and Haaland had a knock in his feet as well. So there we go.
Okay.
Something nice. More to keep an eye on. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice and specific though. That helps us out.
Yeah, a knock in the feet.
Paul, just on just back to Ortega. His performance, as much as Dortmund didn't particularly threaten in the second half, there was a few good moments from Ortega in the first half with his handling and coming off his line. But there was a couple of times where, like you say, he made a really, really cool pass into somebody, like through the pressure.
Yeah, yeah. As I was saying, I mean, he gave me the feeling that he's as good as Ederson, if not better. And I think that he made like a couple of saves in the first half, one, two... Adeyemi, I think, and the other one to Moukoko, that were quite good. So actually, yeah, something that City probably did not have with Jack Stephan. I think that good feeling from his first official game as a Man City player.
Yeah, what was the feeling like about him in the stadium, Sam?
Well, I suppose that means my feeling. I just thought he was fine, to be honest. Good, but if that had been Edison, we wouldn't be talking about a great performance or a bad performance. It was just fine. But I guess obviously the context being first European game in a stadium like this could have been shit. You know, for a backup goalkeeper, it's not easy. So it could have been shit. So I suppose extra credit for being good. Otherwise, fair play, carry on. And I suppose, again, the interesting thing, if we're looking at bigger themes, is if Edison has been dropped, then obviously why? And then who's going to be in goal at Leicester?
Yeah, that's the question that I was kind of going to come on to, because the only thing that I thought about Edison at weekend was probably should have saved the shot that Brighton scored, Sam.
That was terrible, that. Awful. Like, with so many, I can't make my mind up. You know, should he have done better, or has he got a difficult job because there's a really difficult, really high possibility chance from the forward into one-on-one or whatever. But this one, it was just awful. Like, just use your arms, mate.
Yeah, you'd have absolutely bollocked me if I'd let that one in.
I wouldn't, because, I mean, who could be asked? But I'd have been very disappointed.
Yeah.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's talk Mahrez, Paul, because he's been one that I think a lot of fans at this stage now, a lot of fans I'm seeing on social media quite regularly, just play Palmer or just play Alvarez or just play somebody who isn't Riyad Mahrez. What do you think's going on at the moment?
Basically, he's not sharp. Clearly, there's been like some issues that Pep wasn't happy with, because Pep mentioned in press conference that he wasn't like really fit, that he probably could have been with a better weight, just be better in training. But just in games, you could tell. I think that against Brighton, probably he was the worst player on the pitch for City that game. And today he wasn't sharp, just above the penalty, because everyone can miss a penalty, and we know that at City.
Why do we know that? Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that now Pep with Mahrez is doing one of those things that I got to play him, and I'm going to try to get him back from the bad place he might be in, because at some point of the season he might be useful, and if he somehow recovers that spark, he's going to be useful for City. So I think that's the way Pep is handling it. But having said that, if City had to play the final of the Champions League tomorrow, I'm quite sure that Mahrez is not going to start.
Yeah. Sam, in terms of his recent performances, I mean, the difficulty, I guess, is as much as Guardiola will want to play him into form, if you've got somebody like Grealish who is coming into form, having to sit on the bench again and again, like you're not going to be happy if you're Jack Grealish, are you?
No, I thought that before the game, but also there was the promised Jack Grealish revival seemed to be kicking in a bit. And like, again, to go back to the Brighton game, when it got to, like, I don't know if it was 20 minutes in or maybe after City scored the first goal, it was like, Grealish, if you just score in this game, it's so much better for everyone. Like, yeah. It's better for you. Like, fans will be off your back. everything, you know, the whole, you could massage the stats to whatever it would be, you know, 2 goals in 5 games, and if you go back to the Wolves game, or 2 in 4 that he started, or maybe 2 in 3, whatever it would be. And I can't remember, but the Southampton game's the same, maybe, I think it was. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, to answer the question, Grealish would certainly be thinking, well, why aren't I starting? But also, in the last couple of games, he's not been brilliant either. But I was, you know, I'd say I was very surprised that Mahrez played again tonight, and I'd be amazed if he plays at the weekend against Leicester. And like, it's interesting because, you know, Guardiola did that thing where he brought up publicly off his own back that he was waiting for Mahrez to get to his level, and then he discussed it when he was asked about it. So he did that twice, and then he discussed it when he was asked about it, and then he's only got worse, Mahrez, in my opinion, since then. So, yeah, I'd like to think that. I'd just like to think he wouldn't be starting again soon. You know, just, there's other options. But then, you know, people saying play Alvarez. Maybe it's unlucky because, you know, the Copenhagen game was tanked completely by the red card. But, I mean, Alvarez hasn't played well when he's come on for a while now either. You know, the kind of excitement about him has fizzled out for now. I'm not saying, you know, he's going to be a bad signing. But that excitement, you know, when he came in and he was looking really sharp and scoring a couple of goals against Forest and all this kind of thing, it looked like, okay, he's settling in well. But now it's like, okay, yeah, this actually is going to take a bit longer to settle in. And then the other one's Palmer.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that Julian Alvarez, it seems quite clear to me that when he plays, Pep doesn't want to play him like on the right wing. It's just like a given. When Julian Alvarez plays, as long as, doesn't matter if Haaland is like playing up front, they are kind of forming this partnership up front, and that requires Julian Alvarez to have someone else on the right wing. So that kind of makes it difficult to replace Mahrez by Julian Alvarez. And then just like following with Riyad Mahrez, Pep has just spoken on BT Sports about the penalties. And he said that, of course, it's a problem. Since I was here, we missed 25 penalties, mostly in the Champions League. That's not good enough. Always I admire the courage, but we missed a lot. So it's quite remarkable that he knows the exact number of penalties that they missed.
Yeah. I mean, a penalties award. Mahrez is on the pitch.
I mean,
Mahrez is on the pitch, Paul. Next time a penalty's awarded and Haaland isn't, he's not taking it, surely, is he?
Yeah, no. Well, I think that there is Gundogan on the pitch as well, who has missed some penalties as well, but he's regarded as a good taker. So, yeah, I guess that's the next one probably. Maybe for Gundogan or for someone else.
Yeah, Sam, what about Mahrez in terms of in his own head at the moment? Because he doesn't look like... I mean, as much as you see sometimes players can play their way out of bad patches of form like this, I kind of wonder what missing a couple of penalties in this spell will do for him, because he doesn't strike me as the sort of character that will come out fighting, if you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, we don't really know a lot about his character, do we? Because he's one of those people that doesn't do a lot of interviews, and we don't see his like warm side, and when they sit down and do each other's, you know, FIFA ratings or whatever, there's not many of those. I even thought there was that with Raheem Sterling to an extent, but yeah, there's a few players like that. It's harder to warm to them because you just don't see them off the pitch, and then you've only got on the pitch to go by, and then when you've only got on the pitch to go by and you're not playing well, you get a lot less slack.
Yeah.
You know,
we all become body language experts. So,
yeah, exactly. So I don't know. He had a slow start at City like everybody normally does. Then he, you know, became really important. Now he's kind of had I don't want to say his first slump. I'm sure I'm forgetting some big ones that people will tell me. But in terms of playing himself out of it and turning it around, I just don't think he's going to get the chance now. Like, if he started against Leicester at the weekend, then fucking hell, what's going on? I don't. I don't know how he's going to react. I don't know anything about him other than what he does on the pitch. What I would say is it's good that he manages, like a lot of other players, to come out of the team and come into the team and still keep scoring. Like last season, he didn't play at all at the start of the season, but he was always good in the Champions League. Didn't play in the Premier League, Always scored in the Champions League, and then, you know, he ended up scoring enough goals again and doing well, and obviously he scored a lot of penalties in a row until this run he's on now. These things happen to anybody. He's certainly been bad in terms of how he reacts to it. I don't know. But like I say, you wouldn't think he'd get many chances now.
Yeah, I think it's three in a row he's missed now. Off the top of my head, West Ham and then the two in the Champions League this season, with Haaland scoring the other two. What do you expect from the front three for weekend, Paul? Because as Sam mentioned before, maybe it wasn't Foden's finest game this evening either.
Yeah, let's make a gamble. Let's make a play, but let's see how Haaland is. Basically, then I'd say that probably Grealish, because he probably Pep owes him a start, and why not Grealish and Foden? I think that, yeah, maybe despite the fact that Foden hasn't played well today, I think that he has been City's best player for the last couple of weeks for sure.
Yeah, and of course Leicester, Paul, coming into a little bit of form just at the right time.
I guess that's something that you could expect from Leicester. It was not normal the place that they were in the Premier League, so I guess that it's nothing unexpected from City. And we can expect as well Pep saying on Friday's press conference that they are going to one of the toughest pitches in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly that. Quick word on John Stones, Sam, because Paul said to me, little peek behind the curtain before we started, best player on the pitch tonight. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, probably. At half time, I thought Gundogan. Then the defenders were doing well, weren't they? Just in a kind of competent way. But obviously, Gundogan was knitting things together a bit more. And then as the second half went on, Gundogan maybe less so. A few things went less his way. Stones, yeah, considering he was right back, centre back, he was stepping into midfield at the end to play a double pivot with Rodri. Obviously, there are not too many other candidates elsewhere. So, for the sake of a snappy answer, I'll agree.
Yeah. Paul, what was it about the performance? Was it simply that versatility?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that he was like so clever in terms of like reading the game. When he was playing as a right centre back, he knew when to carry the ball, when to jump to pressure. Then when he went to midfield, he was really good next to Rodri. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that he understands really well the game. He reads really well the game. And as long as he's fit, because we have to remember as well that it was his first game after coming back from injury, which is not easy for a player to perform like that. So, yeah, I think that he was good. And I think that Pep was happy because I could see one moment when he just ran to carry the ball and the ball went out of the touch line and Pep just, like, pressed him and just, like, spanked him on the back and said, yeah, okay.
Give him a massive slap on the ass.
Yeah. just, like, good one, mate.
Yeah, he's a fan of doing that, I think, Guardiola with Stones. There is something, I can't explain what it is, but from a fan's point of view, Sam, like I'm really pleased for Stones and really pleased to see him back in and it's his first game back from injury, but it he's come through, 90 minutes there and been able to kind of play two or three different roles on the pitch. He's I think it still dates back to how we talked, years ago about how he was close to leaving City and being out of the side and then being able to kind of recover and get himself first choice a couple of seasons ago and now fight his way back again. His role in this squad and his kind of position, I think is quite interesting because he's one of the players who I guess might have not been that keen to see Akanji come in because he's another one who ends up fighting for the place. And yet here he is putting in these sorts of performances.
It's kind of, it's sink or swim in that respect, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, given he was kind of so far down the pecking order a couple of seasons ago,
Garcia was ahead of him for a spell, yeah,
massively. You know, there was times when he was left out of the squad altogether. Garcia was ahead of him. It just wasn't working, was it? And then obviously the season after was that the one the full behind closed door season. Obviously, it was really good.
Yeah, him and Diaz.
But Guardiola's made a few comments, hasn't he, this season about it's something along the lines of he doesn't stay fit all the time. So that's obviously a bit of a bugbear. To come back in and perform reliably is very admirable. Like I said earlier, with Mahrez, in the past, to be out in and out of the team and to still play at a high level is not easy. So for Stones, especially when you're throwing fitness problems there, it's even more impressive. But yeah, again, nothing probably like Guardiola has been saying recently. The main challenge for him is to stay fit because his performances I don't remember any like major Stones performance issues over the last couple of years.
No.
Which again is impressive considering just how, you know, badly things were going for him in that 1920 season.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's finish with a word on Erling Haaland, Paul, because I think there were some elements of people that I follow on Twitter a little bit disappointed to see that he started the game this evening. I guess because, again, City needed a point to be sure of winning the group. They're already through. And it's almost a case of you can't necessarily rely on him to be constantly in the team every week. I mean, we've seen this week about how I think you've written about how City have been managing his injuries.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, you consider and you wonder about if it was the best option just to start him today. But at the same time, some of these players, it's good for them just to keep playing. I think that the role that Haaland has on this Man City team helps him as well, just to not get injured as he did last season, basically. But yeah, I think it was more like just to keep competing, keep playing, and just keep staying on fit. But at halftime, I guess that Pep saw that it wasn't probably like his game or his type of game. Plus, he wasn't on the best condition, and that's why he was off. I mean, as long as it doesn't affect him being in on the weekend, I guess that there was nothing wrong with that start.
Yeah, Sam. The thing we always say about Guardiola and players is rhythm, though, isn't it? And like, it's not just a case of Haaland is. We call him the robot, this kind of cyborg machine that scores goals. But you can't, again, he's even that. You can't just drop him into the team and expect him to hit the ground running if he's had to have the week off. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Certain players can. Certain players can't, and we don't really know with Haaland because he has just been dropped in at the start and it went well with a bit of, you know, they were careful with him at the start of pre-season, and then, you know, he had I can't remember how long it would have been, a couple of weeks, and it was fine. And then since then, he stayed in that high rhythm. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess we have to see. I mean, the thing is, you know, if they are kind of managing little knocks here and there, then that becomes the problem. But in terms of being out for a week and then coming back in, he might be able to do it, you know. Guardiola always says, well, who's he said like that? Sterling in the past, I think he said Foden, I think he said Cancelo as well, Mahrez possibly. So yeah, we don't know yet. But again, hopefully he's not out for too long to know that. But again, I suppose you could look at his Dortmund record, but 86 goals in 85 games or whatever it was suggests that he was fairly consistent.
Yeah, Paul, in terms of injuries, what are City doing differently at the moment with him?
City, the plan that they had was like really focused on summer and on the pre-season. In terms of Pep has mentioned in press conferences that he came through a small surgery. Then as soon as the training sessions like started back at the start of July, if I'm not wrong, at the 11th of July, City knew that he wasn't like ready to start training. So they decided basically just to keep him apart, wait for like the right time just to get him involved. And he didn't have the training session until the United States. And even when he had like four training sessions with the first team, they just decided not to play him because they felt that the best thing that they could do with Haaland is just to wait for him being in full force to start the competition. On the Community Shield, he started, and then what in the Premier League we saw basically what we saw. And now it's just a matter of staying with the physios. City is a club that they invest quite a lot in the medical department, And I think that you can see that Haaland is quite happy with them and with the treatments that he's having by the fact that he just asked one of the physiotherapists basically to go along with him to Norway to the international break. So did this like common circumstances made like happy just made Haaland just be in the best possible state right now?
Yeah, yeah. Just want to finish, Sam. You would have heard this, but me and Paul will have had this unless Paul was watching on a different station. But Steve McManaman at one point on BT Sports said that one of the Dortmund defenders doesn't want to get into a foot race with Erling Haaland. And it just made me question, what, like, if you had to go in a race against Erling Haaland, but you could choose the category, like what what race would you definitely win against him? I asked Twitter, and Twitter came up with egg and spoon, which I'm not having because even if his like coordination is not great and he's dropping the egg and spoon, he's still quicker than you, so he's winning that one. Someone suggested Mario Kart,
I'm terrible at Mario Kart.
Yeah, me too. But he's a footballer, and so like, what do footballers do when they're not playing football? They play video games and they're on the Switch and the PlayStation.
Yeah, but mate, he's not in his mid 30s.
That is true.
You won't have played it.
Yeah. Horse racing, somebody suggested, but then that means I've got to know how to ride a horse and I can't do that. Yeah. Like Haaland would just weigh the horse down, but I can't I can't do it. One suggestion was changing the bed sheets. I like this one because I'm almost certain that there's no chance Haaland has ever changed his own bed sheet.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So I like that one. Typing was one. I don't know, young lad will know how to type, but yeah, transcribing
yeah.
And then the final suggestion the final suggestion was a funhouse style obstacle course, which again I'm not just having.
Just no chance with that.
Yeah, he bulldozes his way through each one of them. Before, like, even though you're in the ball pit, he's straight in and out the ball pit with minimal effort. So, Sam, are you suggesting transcribing is your skill that you would beat him on?
I suppose we'd have to be, wouldn't it? Something lazy and computer based. But in terms of egg and spoon race, there was a athletic sports day in the summer, and our team won. So, I've certainly got form.
Paul, about yourself, any races that you could beat Haaland?
I'd say that my skill would be like just guessing random numbers from Premier League players. I guess that he would not be in that.
I forgot about this. We've covered this territory before on the show about how you know
really did it at dinner on Thursday night.
but like that dinner was like bad. I mean, they were going like just to mess with me basically.
He's probably not that well versed. My only thought for me was editing a podcast, which I'm going to have to go and do after this. The fact that I can edit a podcast quicker than him, and all it did was make me feel really sad that I haven't achieved anything with my life.
Well, it's better than transcribing.
Yeah, I guess.
Barely, but it is.
Yeah. Well, Sam, we're going to let you dash off towards the Dortmund mix zone. Hope you can get some interviews for that we can maybe use later on in the series, or that we get something. Interesting
stuff. Oh yeah, got a good Bernardo one last week that we can use once I do the article.
Yeah, so I'm going to let you go off and do that, and that brings us to an end for this week's Why Always Us. So, thank you to Sam Lee.
Thanks very much.
And to Paul Bayous.
It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget, you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.